Over the last few weeks, we've seen that you can hear God. So that's the name of our series, Hearing God. And we've seen that you can actually hear God in multiple ways. The ones that we are discussing under the topic of you can, everyone touch your neighbor and say, you can. The ones that we're learning about are that you can hear God out loud. That was last week. You can hear God in stillness. You can hear God through his word, which you'll learn about next week through our brother Jake. You can hear God through your feelings, and you can hear God through others. But on the flip side of the coin, it is the fact or the truth that God communicates. And so the ways that we're learning how he communicates are through these ways. He communicates audibly. That was last week. Gently, that's this week. Clearly, next week, personally and communally. So in light of some of the issues and the areas of need in our community that we're trying to be a part of, it's incredibly important that all of us lean in and hear from God. Because like Jonah, we may even hear from God, but we're going to need a little bit of help if we do hear in order to take some steps to obey. But we're learning all about how God still communicates to his kids. And I'm excited about the next several weeks. But in order to kind of get into the lane of hearing God in silence, I want you to watch this video with me.
We're at the movies and we need to silence our phone. Who knows where that button is?
I don't have silent.
Everyone does, right up here.
It happens to all of us. We buy a new home and we turn into our parents. What I do is help new homeowners overcome this.
Was that an adjustable spanner? Good choice, Steve.
Okay, don't forget, you're not assisting him. You hired him. You have nowhere to sit. You have too many. Who else reads books about submarines?
My dad.
Yeah.
Oh, those are...
Progressive can't protect you from becoming your parents, but we can protect your home and auto when you bundle with us.
Look at that.
Oh, that's so good. And I know you've seen it, but I wanted to laugh together with you. So the name of our talk today is Silence Your Cell Phones. So if you're taking notes, go ahead and write that down as the sermon or the talk title, Silence Your Cell Phones. And the guiding sentence for our series is, God will speak to you personally when you listen to him intentionally. I think that's so important to guide us through these next couple weeks, through January into February. God will speak to you personally when you listen to him intentionally. And so let's allow that to continue guiding us through this series. And today we're going to learn about how God commonly speaks to us through his still, small voice. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up. It's in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 19. Now, 1 Kings, the book, doesn't get a lot of airplay, so don't judge your neighbor if they can't find where that is in the Bible. Open up your Bible to Psalms. That's about right in the middle, and go left. It's sandwiched between Samuel and Chronicles, right there, 1 Kings chapter 19. Or if you don't have your Bible, go ahead and pull out that iPhone we were just talking about that's silenced, right? Silenced. Actually, let's do something together. This will help me as I'm communicating. Pull out your phone. I know you have it. Pull it out. All right. We got a few of you. I mean, guys, everyone has cell phones, right? Except like my three-year-old. All right. Now everyone together, turn on the silent button. You're welcome. Now people won't be looking at you when it goes off. So if you didn't bring your Bible, the Word of God, turn to your favorite Bible app and find your way to 1 Kings 19 and follow along as we take our way through this chapter. I want to introduce you to one of the most fascinating characters in the entire Bible, and his name is Elijah. I just got to share this. I shouldn't, but I talked to not the Elijah, but Elijah back there. And I said, hey, I get to talk about you this week. And he said, are you talking about me or are you talking about another Elijah? And I said, I haven't decided. So I guess we'll see. But that's probably who you just heard. I like Elijah because he's a small town boy just like me. So if you don't know, I grew up in Pennsylvania outside of a town that's about 10,000 people. And I wouldn't even tell you the name of my town because you would judge me. And because there was only about 7.5 houses in the entire township, and my parents own half of them. So I'm not going to tell you about that. But I like Elijah because I can relate to him in that way. He was from a small town called Tishba. Now, Tishba is so small that historians don't actually know where it is specifically located or where it was, and yet we see that's where he came from. So my small town boy was called by God to be a prophet to the wickedest king that northern Israel had seen up until this point. It actually says it a few chapters before that King Ahab was the worst king. Touch your neighbor and say, the worst. If you're online, I know you want to type it in the chat box. Go ahead, type in the worst. You can put a hashtag next to it. King Ahab is his name. And that's who God called Elijah to. So King Ahab was the king of northern Israel, and he married a princess named Jezebel. Now, many of you probably are familiar with some of the stories that include Jezebel. Jezebel, with her came her god, Baal. She was from Tyre, a Phoenician city, and she brought with her god, Baal, and she also brought an agenda, and that agenda was the Baal domination of the Israelite nation. So along with her god, along with her religion, she brought this agenda to overthrow the God of Israel. And so primary worship in northern Israel became Baal worship under the reign of King Ahab and under the reign of Queen Jezebel. And the true followers of Israel's God, Yahweh, were either silenced or they were killed. So we're going back to a dark point in the history of Israel, but here's what you need to know at the outset. God was not silenced, and God was not dead at that time. And so we have a dark season in our history right now that we're walking through in our nation. It feels dark. It is dark. There are so many things that we've recently walked through that show us the darkness that's around. And that's what we're entering into when we go back into this story. But you need to hear me say, and maybe you're here today to hear, that God is not dead and God is not silenced. So even when we don't see him working, even when we don't hear his voice, that doesn't mean that he's not there. It doesn't mean that he's been silenced. Nothing can silence our great God. Amen? All right, wake your neighbor up. I need some help up here. So before our text that we're going to jump into, Elijah just performed one of the greatest comebacks in Israelite history since God used Moses to bring them out of Egypt. Elijah faced up against 450 of Baal's priests and prophets, and he smoked them. No, literally, God sent fire, and it consumed everything that Elijah set up as a sacrifice. That's rocks and stone, that's the water, that's the lamb, that's everything. God showed up big when Elijah called him to. And so God did that to show all of Israel who was really in charge. Because there was a lot of doubt at that time. Is God still who he says he is? Or is Baal the God that we should follow? So God wins big, and Baal's guys lose their heads, literally. And Elijah then prays for rain, and God ends a long drought. This drought had been years long. Elijah asked God to do it. Now, Baal was the god of fertility and also of storm, and yet there was no fertility, there was no rain for 3 years because of a prayer that Elijah prayed. So after the priests of Baal get their head cut off, King Ahab, and we're going to call him K.A., touch your neighbor and tell him K.A. had a bad day. Man, this guy's got jokes too, you know what I'm saying? So K.A. goes home and tells his queen Jezebel how he was just KO'd by Elijah's God. Yeah, I saw what you did there. And so Jezebel adds Elijah to the Jannai's most wanted list. Jannai, since you're asking, is Jezebel's northern Israel, and puts out a bounty on his head. So Elijah does exactly what you or I would do. If the most powerful person that we know of put a death threat and a death sentence on our head, he makes like Harrison Ford and he takes off like a fugitive. So don't judge him too hard, because he was in a situation that I think we would do the exact same thing. So the beginning of our chapter tells us that he actually gave up all hope, and he went out into the wilderness to die, as if God had never been in a wilderness before. He led, I don't know, Israel 40 years through there. Like God actually was in the wilderness waiting for Elijah. And so the angel of the Lord, we're getting closer. There's a lot of context, but I want you guys to know what leads up to this story in order to pull out the greatest amount of truth that you can from it. Because this story, like all stories, has context that is important for us to understand rightly what God wants us to learn today. So the angel of the Lord that we met last week, and that we decided was Jesus, because you can disagree on whether it was just an angel or whether it was the angel, but I'll go with Jesus because early Christian theologians did, and I like to side with those guys when I can. I gave kind of a heady academic word. I said theophany. And let me just explain theophany real quick. It's made up of two Greek words. Theos is referring to God, and phino is referring to manifest or to appear. That's what phino means. And together they mean the manifestation of God. So anytime that God manifests himself in the Old Testament, it's become known as a theophany. And so we have another theophany in our story this week. Jesus comes before his Christmas birthday. So this was before he came on Christmas and that holiday was established. He came to Elijah. He fed him. He sent him on a mission, and he encouraged him. Now, it's incredible to me that without me knowing it, we studied last week and we talked about Hagar. Now, who met Hagar at a well when she was at her lowest point? I say who, you say. Good. You can be taught. So Hagar at her lowest point is met by the angel of the Lord, and we're saying it's Jesus. And so Jesus shows up when she has no hope. Well, guess what happens in 1 Kings 19? Elijah is at the end of his rope. He has given up the plan, the mission that God gave him years ago, because he can't see how it's going to work out in the end, and he is done. He went into the wilderness with no water. We learned last week it only takes 4 days for you to die without water. He went out with no food. He left his servant, and he went out to die, and yet Jesus shows up when he needs him most. So Jesus then sends Elijah to God's mountain. We call that Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, the same place that he met with Moses to give him the law. That's where the angel of the Lord sends Elijah, and Elijah goes. And so that gives you all the context you need. Look at me. Don't even look at your neighbor and just say, got it. Type it in the chat box, got it. I can't see the chat box right now, but I'll believe you. Type it in. Let's read our text together. It's 1 Kings chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, we have the words up on the screen. Go ahead and follow along. Verse 9 says, there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, God said to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword, and I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Come on, you know he sounded like that. The first truth I want you to see, that voice is coming back, so I hope you liked it. The first truth I want you to see today is this. Go to spaces you can communicate. If you want to hear from God, go to spaces where you can communicate. So Elijah goes to God's mountain to hear from him. And here's what I learned as I studied this text. Elijah was away from distractions. Elijah was away from distractions. He had a death penalty on his head. No one liked him at this point, and he was distracted to the max. He got away. Yes, he ran away, but God led him to a place where he would not be distracted. So for us, maybe it's our iPhone that is distracting us. Maybe it's our friends. Maybe it's entertainment. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's your kids. Get away from distraction. Don't leave your kids and like run away. You know what I mean. Get away from distraction. That is what we see Elijah doing. The second is that he was alone to process. Sometimes we can't process what we need to when other people are around us. Sometimes we can't work out what's inside of us when we're surrounded by people outside of us. So get away from distraction, but get alone to process. The third thing is that he was accessible to God's voice. Sometimes we're not accessible to God's voice because of what we're filling our time with. And Elijah was. He was accessible to hear God's voice. He was alert to God's presence. He was alert to God's presence. Sometimes the thing you need most is to be in the presence of God. But when your alerts on your phone are keeping you distracted, and you know what it feels like when that dopamine hit comes, when you get an alert, it doesn't matter what it is. That dopamine sets off, and you have to know what your phone is telling you because it's so important, right? And so when our alerts are constantly triggering us away from God or into our own little worlds, then maybe we're not alert to God's presence. Elijah was in this story. And finally, be available to be honest. Be available to be honest. That was what Elijah was doing. He was available to be honest. See, if we can't be honest about how we feel, we may never experience what God wants for us. If you want to hear from God, start by being honest about how you feel. I know the feelings word is a little uncomfortable because there's not like a Greek word that directly ties to it, and our society gets it wrong in the ways that they talk about feelings sometimes. But understand that whether you admit it or not, there are feelings that are happening that are affected by what you're going through and what you've been through. And if you are not willing to be honest about it, God may never pierce through those things that get you sideways and help you know what the next steps are. If you want a guide for being honest, go to Psalm 13 or Psalm 88. Those are two good chapters that you can check out where the psalmists were completely honest about how they felt and what was happening to them circumstantially. And this may mean that you say to God, if you're going to be honest, this may mean that you say to God what you would never say to someone else. Because we just talked about it last week. When someone asks me how I'm doing, what am I going to say? Oh, I'm good. I'm fine. There's no problems here. Or I'm busy. Because being busy is the telltale sign that you are on your way to success. And that though you're unhealthy, that doesn't really matter as much as long as you're busy. Because that's an excuse for whatever. But if you're not willing to be honest with God, you may never experience God's voice to you. And so be honest with him. Let's start there. Let's go on in our text, verses 11 through 13. They go on and they say this, and he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind, touch your neighbor and say, there's the wind, tore the mountains and broke to pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Touch your neighbor and say, the earth's quaking. Just do it. You can type it in the chat box. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Touch your neighbor and say, you started the fire. Oh, he did. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, verse 13, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah?" The second truth I want you to see from this text is that God will show up in ways you don't expect. Expect God to show up in ways that are unexpected. He will show up in ways you don't expect. After Elijah was done expressing what he saw and how he felt, God told him, "Go out." Here's what you need to hear, and here's what God was leading me to share with you. God said, "Go out." He could have said something very different. God could have, after Elijah had his little temper tantrum or whatever we imagine he was doing at the time, God could have said, "Get out." But he didn't. God said, "Go out." And here's what I learned. Sometimes you have to go out in order for God to show out. Sometimes you have to go out if you want to see God show out. Because we imagine God, I think, naturally, according to our sinful fathers or sinful interactions with other people, and we imagine that if we complain about what we're doing or if we even express that life is hard, then what's going to be said to us is, "Get out. Stop being a baby. Stop whining about it. I told you I've got this. Would you just trust me?" And yet, that's not what God does. That's not how he communicates to us. Sometimes he's just saying, "Go out and watch what I'm going to do." And so maybe for us, it's go out of your way to care for someone. Or maybe it's go outside your comfort zone to carry God's message. Maybe God's saying, "Go outside to get your headspace right." Sometimes you just got to leave the situation for a hot minute and get right in your head and in your heart. Maybe God is telling you that, or maybe he's saying, "Get out of your typical mode of thinking and try to understand someone who doesn't think like you." God could be saying any of those things to us today and much more. But maybe he's telling you to go out. See, Elijah seems to be on his way out when God started blowing things up. He started with the wind that shredded the mountainside. He then goes on to the earthquake and shook the space that Elijah was standing on. And then he takes the fire and he torches the place. So I think we got three things: earth, wind, fire. Oh, come on, tell me you didn't hear that. Whoever said that God wasn't into 70s rock is just flat wrong. But God wasn't communicating through those seismic events. He wasn't. He was in the unexpected. We expect God to show up in miraculous ways so that everyone can see it and that everyone can be proven right or wrong. And yet God doesn't work that way. Most of the time it's subtle. Most of the time it's in a whisper. The ESV translated the sound of a low whisper. Another translation translates it sheer silence. Really, a still small voice is more literally in the Hebrew a voice or sound of calm, soft, quiet. Now, this word's really hard to understand. Because we're not Hebrew, but that would be the best literal translation of that. So really a calm quiet. That's what he experienced. Now, if I'm whispering, what are you going to do? If I'm whispering, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You want to hear exactly what I'm about to say, but maybe you can't. See, when God whispers, here's one thing I realize. When God whispers, you know what that says about him? He's willing to get down on your level. But if you want to hear him, you got to lean in. It's not enough to just listen sometimes. Sometimes you got to lean in to hear what he's whispering, because sometimes our distractions are keeping us from hearing that still, small, whispering voice. See, you may not be hearing God because your life is anything but calm. You have a choice, friends. And sometimes we don't take the steps to get into a place of calm, and God will do it for us. Sometimes he orchestrates our life to put us in a place of calm. Somebody say 2020. Sometimes God does that for us so that we will take our eyes off of the screen. He puts it on silent so that we'll take our eyes off of the screen and see and then hear what he is doing. Dallas Willard has been a friend who is helping us understand a little more clearly how God communicates and how we can hear what God is saying. And he says this: while God's communications come through experiences of many kinds, their detailed content or meaning always takes the form of an inner voice, a characteristic type of thought or perception. Here's what Willard is saying. God communicates all different ways to us. But if you want to interpret it, if you want to understand it, then listen closely for the inner voice that will tell you what God is saying through his communications. See, God's word is a boundary for how he communicates to us. God will never communicate anything that contradicts what he's laid down in his word. It's a boundary, but within that boundary, God still communicates to us personally. He still does it daily at times. Are we listening to him? Let me give you an example. I was in a messy situation recently, and God put me in a position to help someone. Now, I knew that God wanted me to say something. I just wasn't sure what he wanted me to say. I wasn't sure how to go about doing it. And so I went into my office, and I have what I call a prayer closet dedicated to really me hearing from God. And I got in there for not that long, and I just asked God, because I wasn't sure. I knew he was going to use me, and he wanted to use me, but I didn't know what he wanted me to say. And so I asked him. I said, God, what do you want me to say? Some variation of that. And here's what he did. He told me three things that he wanted me to communicate. And guess what I did? I communicated them. And here is one of the things that I learned. I sensed in that time that God wanted to speak to me so that he could work through me. God wanted to speak to me, but he wanted to do it not just for me, so that he could work through me. And that's exactly what we're going to continue seeing in Elijah's life. Elijah needed to hear from him. He was at the end, but it wasn't just for Elijah. It was for the work he was going to continue doing to continue carrying out God's plan. So if you're looking to hear from God, listen for his still, small voice. I want to be practical. So there's five ways. This is the new slide that I sent you, Neil, if we can get that up. Five ways that you can, what I call, claim the calm or seek the silence. This is like the daily things that we can do, or the practices that you can begin to put into place. The first one is choose an off day, not and, but an off day each week. Choose an off day each week. That used to be called sabbatical, or Sabbath, I'm sorry. I still call it that, but it really is an off day where you get away, you turn off, you disconnect, and you are just there enjoying the Lord, enjoying his blessings. So choose an off day each week and start putting it into practice. Begin to rest in that way. Create regular silent space. Regular silent space. There's places where you meet with God and he always shows up. Find that place, create it, and dedicate that to meeting with the Lord so that you can claim the calm that you need to hear his whisper. The third, turn off distractions routinely. I mean, if that means you turn off your phone at 9 p.m. every day so that you're not tied to your email or your text messaging or your social media, then make a routine of it. And trust me, it will benefit your soul. It will help you function at a higher level because we were made for rest, just like we were made for work. Spend time in nature or by beauty. We just finished a book as staff called Get Your Life Back, and one of the chapters was about how beauty restores. It actually has restorative power to you. So when you're in beauty, you experience God and you are restored by Him. The last thing is write down your frustrations or dysfunctions and questions. Write them down. Sometimes they'll never come out if you don't just write them. And once you write them, I promise you, God's going to start helping you process them a little differently. When they're inside, they're jumbled. When they come out, they often show us some things that God wants us to see. Back to our text, verses 14 through 17. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Here's what the third truth is. God gives you what you need to hear him. God gives you what you need to hear him. God came to Elijah a second time, except this time it was in a whisper, which means Elijah was leaning in. Elijah is now listening more closely, and yet God asked him the same exact question. What are you doing here? For whatever reason, Elijah needed to express his feelings and perspectives again. And God knew it, and God gave him the space to do it. God didn't just ask him once, he asked him twice, and Elijah responded in the same way. So sometimes when we're leaning in and we hear the whisper of God, that doesn't mean that we've worked out everything yet. Sometimes you still got to get it out with the Lord, not on social media, as is easy to do and often done, with the Lord. Whether that's a journal or some other way that works for you. So God gave him space to express himself. Then God gave him his next mission, should he choose to accept it, and that was to go back. His mission, should he choose to accept it, was to go back. See, Hagar, nothing changed about her situation, but God said what? Wake your neighbor up. They're sleeping again. Come on, kick them or something. God said, Jesus said, go back. He says the same thing to Elijah. Go back. Go back to a godless nation. Go back to a despondent king. Go back to a murderous queen. Nothing changed outwardly. But Elijah, everything can change inwardly. And God sent him back. God told Elijah in the NIV translation to go back the way you came. Go back the way you came. Nothing's changed yet, but go back. And here's what maybe you came here today to hear this. Go back to a hopeless situation. Go back to a hopeless situation with a hope-filled determination. When you meet with God, when you hear him in the whisper, there comes your confidence. There comes your ability to go back into the mess that you just ran as fast as you could out of. Sometimes God calls us back in order to have a hope-filled determination. God tells Elijah the plan because that helped Elijah move forward. See, sometimes we can't move forward until we go backward. Sometimes we won't move into what's next until we deal with what we left. And so if that's you today, and if you hear the Lord whispering to you through the Spirit, take those words to heart. In verse 18, as we near the end, says this. Says, yet, God speaking, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The last truth I want you to see is that you can hear God even if you can't see God. You can hear God even if you can't see God. Elijah didn't see God working, but he was about to hear all about his moving. Elijah was nearing the end of his entire ministry, and Elijah was one of the best prophets Israel ever had. But he didn't see God at work, but he still heard him. When he leaned in and listened to the whisper, he heard God. And here's what God said. God said to Elijah, "You're wrong. My plan will go forward with or without you. There is always a remnant. There is always a remnant. There is always a remnant. You may not see it, but that doesn't mean God isn't creating it. God isn't raising the remnant. There always is a remnant." God's saying to him, "It's not over till I say it's over. It's not over till I say it's over. It doesn't matter what you see. Sometimes you just need to hear God speak that to you because our eyes deceive us and the sin inside tricks us." And that's why it's so important when what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said we walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because when we don't see what we want, sometimes we lose heart. Sometimes we need to lean in and listen to what God is saying. But here's the truth. We need a better Elijah. We need a better Elijah. Elijah means my God is Lord. But he wasn't able to persuade his people that Yahweh should be their Lord too. That was what God called him to do. And that's what his name literally meant. My God is Yahweh. But he did not fulfill his mission of convincing that nation that Yahweh was their Lord too. Elijah never brought God's kingdom from heaven down to earth. So someone else would have to. I want to invite the worship team up. They're going to lead us in one final song as we close. Don't lose sight of this. Elijah was a great prophet. He was one of the greatest prophets Israel had ever seen. He called down fire from heaven. He did that. He met with God on God's mountain. He also rode the highway to heaven in a chariot of fire. Like, the dude never died. God just took him to live with him. That's pretty astounding. But he never changed the hard hearts of the people. He never changed the hard hearts of the people. Another prophet was still needed. A prophet who produced a different result. See, we need a man who didn't just ride the stairway to heaven or the highway to heaven. We need a man who descended from heaven and became the stairway back. We don't just need a man who called down consuming fire to eat up all the sacrifice that was laid out. We need a man who was consumed by fire from heaven because he was the lamb and he was the sacrifice. That's what we need. We need a man who didn't experience an earthquake, but who had the power to make the earthquake when his cries of agony were heard on the cross. We need a man who would come and turn the devastating winds of sin and of death into the very whisper of God's love after he rose from the dead. Jesus was that man. He was what we needed because he wasn't just a man. Only God could change the hearts of man. But Jesus was God. And Jesus can change the hearts of man in a way that Elijah could never do. And that's why we need a greater Elijah. We need Jesus to be the one who turns everything for us. As we listen to this song, as we worship with this song, I want to invite the elders to come up. And here's what I want to ask you. Will you consider giving Jesus your heart today? If you have not made that decision, will you consider giving him your heart today? Turn from your sin and let Jesus in. You just have to ask him. He's waiting. Or maybe you're a person who's made that decision before, years ago, but you needed to hear that sometimes I just need to silence my cell phone. That's a metaphor for life. Sometimes I just need to bring my life into a place of calm so that I can hear directly from the Lord, because the Lord talks through a still, small voice regularly. Are you listening? Will you take up one of the things that we talked about and put it into place today? If you're in either of these places, I invite you to come forward and get with Jesus right here, right now, as the lights are being dimmed, or actually turned off. I want to invite you. You're welcome to come. If you need to make a decision for the Lord, our elders will be here. They've done that before. They know how to lead you to the Lord. And so ask one of them. If you just need to come and make some decisions to hear from God, to silence your cell phone, to get your place, your life in a place where you can hear from him, then come forward and hear from the Lord in this time as our worship team leads us to him. And Jesus, we need you. We need to hear from you. It's not enough to try to figure this out on our own. We need your Spirit to teach us, to be the teacher, the guide, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate. We need all of those things, Christ, because we're messy and we're broken and we get it wrong so often. So would you be that for us through your Spirit in this place? Right now, I pray. To you, King Jesus, because of you and through you. Amen.